Hello out there. This is Pamela Fagan Hutchins, and you have found Wine, Women, and Writing, which is the show where I talk with other authors about their complex, authentic female characters and the often real life stories they're based upon, whether those are personal or historical. And I hope to hear a little of both today from our guest. Before we get started, I wanted to make the usual few announcements. This is a solely owned and copyrighted production of Authors on the Air Radio, Global Radio Network. Producer Pam Stack, you rock. Thank you so much. And I also wanted to let you know that if you want to catch past shows, including this one we're doing today, if you're not seeing it live, you can always rewatch at PamelaFaganHutchins.com. You can also get my newest release, Scapegoat, or perfect holiday gift for the little ones in your life, my first children's book, Poppy Needs a Puppy. So, with no further ado, we're done with the boring stuff. Let's get to our guest today. I want to welcome Wendy Warsanger, who's got a wonderful new historical novel out, Prospects of a Woman. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me.
I am delighted to have you this morning, and I am delighted that we solved our technology problems.
Yes.
You guys, it's always a fire drill. So
it's very patient.
Once you get those little, you know, it's like a jinx. Once you get that done, it's like, oh, now I've got this. My day, yeah. I'm totally on it.
Okay. Yeah, today's going to be a great day.
I beat the internet. Yay.
So, yeah, that is a great day.
You are actually coming to us from the West Coast. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm actually on the south shore of Lake Tahoe right now, and we're getting snow, which I'm super excited about.
That's great. Is that where you live full time, or is this a seasonal or a getaway?
It's kind of a getaway at the moment. We sort of decamped here for the time being.
Yeah.
But I was born and raised in Sacramento, and yeah, we live in the Bay Area.
Okay. So you're not too far from the beauty of Lake Tahoe in the first place.
Yes.
I've only been once, but it's gorgeous.
Oh, it's just paradise. It's just paradise. And when it snows, it's so beautiful. I'm looking out my window and it's just, I feel so fortunate.
You know, to have peace and beauty right now when the world is a little bit crazy, because you guys, if you're seeing a replay or listening to a replay, we did this show when we're ramping, surging back up with COVID, and you know, all the world is still crazy in the U.S. post-election, and it's really nice to find that peace and that getaway.
Yeah. It is. It's a little nerve-wracking though. I went to the store yesterday, and again, like, no paper towels, no toilet paper.
I was like,
really? We're doing this again? Guess, you know, whatever. We keep ourselves safe. And so I just took my one, you know, role as I am allotted, which is fine. I'm good with that. Whatever we need to do to keep our community safe and everybody gets what they need, you know?
Exactly. If people need a lot of toilet paper, then God bless them. We run a lodge and we just closed for the season last week. And so the toilet paper shortage here just happened. But when you go in and they tell you you can only buy one pack and you're facing 12 people, it's like, problem here.
Yeah. Yeah. You learn what conservation is all about.
Exactly. Our place is off the grid and we tell people it's about conservation, but we didn't warn them it was about toilet paper. So.
Yeah.
Well, are you able to find the piece to write when you're up in Tahoe? Is it a good spot for you creatively?
It's so luxurious because it's quiet and I don't have the chaos, you know, of living in the city. But right now, since my novel launched in October, I am just busy with doing the promotion, which is a totally interesting situation for me because I'm a real introvert and I'm not used to putting myself out there so much. And people are really, you know, excited about the novel, asking me all about it and wanting to connect. And so I'm just really putting, you know, I'm working on putting myself out there. So right now I'm not writing. My plan is to begin again at the end of January. So I'm giving myself a certain period of time where I'm going to commit to, you know, I guess the sales cycle of the book or whatever.
Exactly. They do their life cycles. And I don't think that extroverts realize how much emotional energy and creative energy it saps from introverts to put yourself out there. It's hard.
Yeah. And the whole social media thing is very weird. Like, I am not into social media, but you know, you've written so many books, right? So you know how this all goes.
And it's become easier for me over time. So I hope it'll become easier for you. But back in the beginning, book tours, when you had to do them live, this year you don't have to. Mm-hmm. But when you had to actually interact with humans, it was horrifying. And it just,
oh my gosh.
I took 6 weeks off after promotion before I could do anything because yeah. I was so wrung out. So I totally feel you, sister.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah, you get it. And yeah, it's really the antithesis of what it takes emotionally to create a story, a narrative, and to have quality writing. You need quiet. You need to be in your room. You need to be processing characters and place. And it's just, there's no way I could be writing right now. It's just impossible.
To a certain extent, even though it's hard, I hope that you're finding that joy in the release of your baby into the world. A first novel and the release of a first novel, that is super special. And congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you so much. I feel very fortunate. And I've been getting incredible feedback. I'm now on 2 BuzzFeed hot lists, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah.
The early reviews are good. So I feel very fortunate. And I'm fine. I'm good. Yeah. And I am trying to just soak it all in. Like, yeah.
Or look back on it later or something, but enjoy it because you only get one first novel and one first child and one first everything, right?
Yeah. That's really good advice. I appreciate that.
So let's talk about Prospects of a Woman. I want you first of all, to tell everybody a little bit about it, which is the hardest thing in the world for a writer, right? You know, you like write a book that's really long and then someone says, give us the, 10 second version.
Right. Right. Yes, I'll tell you about it. But first, let me tell you about what inspired it. So I was born and raised on the American River in Sacramento. And growing up, I didn't learn about women in California in our history at all when I was in school. And I was really confused by the depictions in novels and movies of women in the West because those weren't the women I knew. And they weren't the women I grew up with. And they weren't the women in my family. Our family goes back to 1860 California. So I started doing research to try to understand who were the early women in the West? And what I realized is that they weren't really what the sort of typical stereotype that you think of a woman in the West was. So I set out to research and what the result was sort of a narrative, which is sort of, it's a more authentic retelling of a woman's contributions to the West. And in particular, the storyline is a married couple, Elizabeth and Nate, come out to California, land on the American River in 1850. And she realizes her husband's not really who she thought. And she sort of sets out off on her own. So that's the beginning of the story.
I love that. When you stop and think who creates the narrative about what was back then, I want to use the word sexism, but let's instead say a male-dominated narrative because that's who was writing the books that were getting published. It was who was controlling the voice about of the women that were back then. But when you think about what it took for a woman to set off across the country, it was harder in many ways than it was for men. It was difficult for everyone. And to tell that story is exciting. It's groundbreaking. It's important. And I just love that you did it.
Oh, thank you so much. You're right. The narratives have been told by men typically, and they tend to be romanticized sort of myths, right? The men were the saviors. The women needed rescuing. And they were either sort of prostitutes or housewives. That is absolutely completely only a very small portion of the story of women in the West. And in California in particular, when women came out here in 1850, they were given a whole broad set of rights that no other state had provided for women. So actually they had a lot of power and agency. They were able to sign contracts, own their own property. They could get divorced. They could keep custody of their children. And in no other state were they allowed to do that. So they had a lot of agency to go out and sort of be on their own, be independent if they wanted to, divorce, find trade up husbands. I read a lot of diaries. And that was the funniest part is that the women would sort of get there and they'd look around and they'd be like, yeah, I think I can do better. It was fascinating.
They certainly, it certainly was a buyer's market for, you know, for numerosity.
Yeah, it was 20 to one, right? So these women were really valued. They weren't particularly in danger because they were protected, you know, as a, like a valuable commodity.
Yeah.
So all the narratives that we see of them, like being scared and, you know, in danger of, you know, all of these men and, you know, needing to be a prostitute, like as their only option, or marry somebody to take care of them. That was completely inaccurate in California.
I absolutely love that this is what this novel explores, that we get past the notion of, you know, it's the Halloween costumes, right? I look at what people wear for Halloween and I think, where in the world did we get the idea that the only role for women was that you were either, you know, a witch to be burned at the stake,
or a hottie nurse.
Or a hottie nurse, right? And that's the way we look back on history as well. And you're right, it's this romanticized version that cast men in the role of a savior. And I'm not going to bash men because I love my husband and my sons, and I like their muscles. And I think our division of labor that we've worked out so that I don't have to scoop horse poop as often as them is super cool, right? But we contribute equally in different ways,
right?
And contribute in ways that we work out as a family. And I love going back and exploring how women did that in other time periods. So now,
yes, and you know, I'm married 25 years. I've got two boys. I love my husband too. And you're right. It's that we were very important to the building of the West, and I think that's part of what has not been fully realized in literature.
Right. Right. What I guess that it is, prostitution was not the only valuable contribution, right? And it's like, and you watch old Western shows, you know, and the Miss Kitty or things like that. And all
I remember Miss Kitty.
I mean, God bless everybody that put that show together. At least it kept the West alive, but there's other stories to tell. So now, how did you get interested in writing a historical novel? Was it always that this story called to you, or this type of story, or was it something else that made you think historical fiction is where I want to be? Because writing is where you want to be. You have an MFA, right? From
the Vermont College of Fine Arts. I studied journalism and was always a writer. I started my career writing about technology in the Silicon Valley. But I love reading historical fiction. I've always loved it because you learn about a different time and a place and maybe people that you're not familiar with. It's almost like a little mini like schooling when you read a historical novel.
Yeah.
So I've always been a huge fan of historical novels. And when my kids were young and I stopped writing about technology, we went on lots of trips. I took them on lots of trips into the gold country because the rivers up there are so beautiful and the wilderness, and I would, you know, they're two boys, incredibly energetic. So I needed to take them somewhere where they could
just run.
I started falling into these like little stores and museums and getting these narratives of women diaries and firsthand accounts of their experience. And it just absolutely fascinated me. And I thought, oh, there is something here. There's definitely something here. So then I went back to school to learn how to become a narrative writer, because storytelling is very different than writing about technology.
Yes, yes. I have a daughter that is getting her PhD in computer science, and even, you know, and she'll send me her technical papers to edit, and I'm like, oh, sweet. It's just
It's a different world, that's for sure.
Totally different world. And what's one of the things that's excited me about your book and about this discussion, honestly, is that I live in Wyoming, and Wyoming was one of the other early states to grant women more rights. In fact, we
had voting rights.
Voting rights
before California, by the way.
Yes. And we have a really strong history of women homesteaders that, for whatever reason, out here doing it pretty much on their own. And so this really spoke to me and spoke to when you look out, I'm actually looking out the window now, which by the way, is this blinding sunlight just came through, which cast me in this spooky shadow.
No, so, I think it was fantastic.
If anybody noticed the difference that's watching this, it's because there is natural light coming off the mountain here. But when I look out and I think about a place and I think about the kind of stories that I want to tell and I want to read, like yours, I look at the way that history and culture has shaped the place. And so often it's not what books tell us, whether it's the Native American vocalization of their history that then gets passed down in a written form by people that weren't part of that culture, or whether it's the retelling of the West by the romanticizing, you know, the casting of hero, you know, et cetera, that we've been talking about. And that you have to dig a little deeper. The thought that you found these diaries just has me all pumped up. I want to go comb antique stores and find diaries now.
There's also been a lot of academic work in the last 25 years on women in the West and the diverse sort of cast of people that helped build the state. So that was also very helpful. I drew upon a lot of those resources as well.
I love it. Okay, so now with respect to this book and the fact that you're not writing till January, what do you do next after this? Do you already have in your mind where you go from here? I mean, it's a hard project to top because this is so passionate. This is it's something that I would think would be so personal, writing something like this.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating because the ending, I'm getting a lot of feedback about the ending. I'm doing a ton of book clubs, which is, by the way, so much fun. So women's book clubs are asking me to come in. And like, of course, everyone wants to talk about the prospects of women, right? Mm-hmm. So it's such a great fit. And people are asking me a lot about the ending because the ending is, I don't want to give it away, but it's... so people are saying like, well, what happens next, right? So I'm considering... I've been doing a lot of research about women in San Francisco in 1920, sort of the artist salons, because we have women in our family who were artists and dancers and poets. And I find that period of time very interesting. So I'm sort of trying to figure out like how to bridge maybe the two with some other characters from my first book. So we'll see.
I love that. I think that's exciting and fun. You know, when you think of taking history and bridging it through fiction and getting some continuity, generational continuity or things like that, and taking it into other exciting areas, that would be really fun.
Yeah, I'm thinking there's some children in my book. And so I'm thinking, oh, what if they're like grown adults in the next? Anyway, so I'm just kind of playing around with that. But I'm having a lot of fun reading books about women in San Francisco in 1920.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds like so much fun. And there's so many different and exciting subcultures to explore in California, if that stays your interest. You know, it's right. You're really ripe with a lot of opportunity for a writer to explore. So that will give us a lot of things to look forward to. Now, do you draw on any of your own experiences in these books, even though they are, of course, historical? Because you have had an interesting past, or at least so says your bio. Yeah. I was laughing. It's like lifeguard, ski instructor, DJ, you know, and some really daring and exciting careers for a woman, really.
Yeah.
So physical and not maybe non-traditional. So how do you draw on those things in your books?
So yes, I think I drew a little bit on my life, but I also am surrounded by incredible women, both my friends and my family and my ancestors here in California. And I, so I had a lot of inspiration, we'll put it that way. But my novel's also filled with lots of provocative material. It's not PG-13. And that is, a lot of that material is not firsthand.
Because isn't it hard? You sit down to write stuff like that and you think everybody's going to think that, I wrote this from personal experience.
Yeah, that's the most fascinating thing that I get is like people look at me and they're like, oh my God, she wrote that. Like, you know, it's not a Western, but when I studied my MFA, Cormac McCarthy was like my huge inspiration. I did my master's thesis on him and, you know, his work's not
PG-13.
So Yeah, there's some provocative material. It's, you know, there's some violence. It's, you know.
It's gritty.
Yeah, it's gritty. But I'm hearing that people really like it. So I'm like, okay, it's going down really well. So
authenticity, right? And there are people very much so, and a lot of my readers, and God bless you guys, I write both gritty and non-gritty because there are people that want it and there's people that don't.
Right. That's why I like to say in advance, like, I think it's important that people understand. And actually on the cover of the novel, it says, like, you know, there's a quote on the cover of the novel. So I just want to be clear, it's not PG. Yeah. And it's not for children, it's not for teens.
And personally, if I'm going to pick up a book and read, and some of my readers are going to be surprised because I have one series that's very clean, I love something that's authentic. I want something that I feel like I was really there, and I don't need the door closed when bad things happen or when sexy things happen or stuff like that. But some people do. And so I appreciate that you give them that.
Yeah, these kind of trigger warnings for literature, it's important. You need to understand the book you're opening.
Yeah, exactly. Bad things do happen in the real world.
Yeah, and but also really good things too. And really surprising and fantastic and thrilling things.
It's the way that authentic literature reflects life, right? It's the good and the bad. And that's what makes the good better, is to have that real contrast. And I think that people will get that from your book, as well as a wonderful look into a view of California history. And hold on, the cat wants to say hello. The view of California history and women's role that is exciting and important. And I love it. And I congratulate you. And I think it's fantastic.
Thank you so much. And thanks for your advice on to savor it. I'm totally going to take that with me for the rest of the week.
It should be an endless, endless party and when you recover from the promotion. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to the next one. And you guys go out and check out Prospects of a Woman. And you can let Wendy know what you think by heading out to her website and getting her contact information, wendyborsinger.net. Be sure to leave a review online. That's the lifeblood of authors. Yeah. Everyone go out and have a good week and read a fantastic book.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you.